They were world music before there was world music. They were bigger than the Beatles in Cuba. You probably never heard of Los Zafiros, the Sapphires, but they're remembered to this day in their native land, and now there's a film about them, Los Zafiros, Music from the Edge of Time, out on DVD. Ed Ward has seen it and has this report.
I'm not a fan of Cuban music, but when I read about a Cuban group that had incorporated elements of calypso, bossa nova, and doo-wop into their sound, and was offered a chance to see Lorenzo Di Stefano's documentary about them, curiosity got the best of me. I'm a sucker for great harmonies, and I was intrigued. What was the story here? Havana's Trio Park was, and is apparently, a place where musicians hang out, and it was there in 1961 that Miguel Cancio, a professional musician since his teens, ran into guitarist Manuel Galban and decided to put together a singing group. Soon, they were joined by three other young men, Ignacio El Alcalde, Leonicio Quique Moria, and Eduardo El Chino Hernandez, and after a few rehearsals, they discovered they had something going that nobody had ever done before in Cuba.
Dame tus besos y tus caricias y que no me muero yo de dolor. ¿Dónde está mi bellecita? Yo la quiero besar. Ella es dulce, es bonita y su boquita es de corazón.
Their not-so-secret weapon was El Chino. Tall, skinny, handsome, and possessed of what Galban insists was a natural countertenor voice, he was able to mesmerize audiences with his emotional delivery. The other singers wove in and out and occasionally took the lead from him, and, along with their amazing improvised choreography, the live show was a sight to behold. The comparison the film makes to the Beatles isn't a coincidence. Los Zafiros arose during the Cuban Missile Crisis at a point when ordinary Cubans had no idea if their young revolution would succeed or not and were afraid of both the Russians and the Americans dragging them into war. Their rise to the top was simultaneous with the elation Cubans felt after the crisis was defused. The Beatles also arrived during a period of great uncertainty, almost immediately following John F. Kennedy's assassination, and their success is often keyed to Americans needing something to feel good about. Both groups were swept away by cultural and political forces they hadn't created themselves, and both found themselves celebrated and running away from girls with scissors wanting locks of their hair. Both groups, too, fell apart. For Los Zafiros, it was after a 1965 tour that took them to Berlin, Warsaw, Paris, and Moscow, playing to packed houses. They were even offered a tour of America, but turned it down. Back in Cuba, they recorded some more, but even though they were tightly connected, El Chino had married Miguel's sister, for instance, they'd come too far, too quickly. Several of them began to drink too much, and Miguel had decided to emigrate to Miami, something he was apparently able to do fairly easily, but wasn't an option for the others. Ignacio and Quique died in the early 80s, and El Chino, racked by alcoholism, finally passed away in 1995. The story would be emotionally wrenching enough, but the film frames it with another story, Miguel's visit to Cuba after 30 years to reunite with the other living Zafiro, Manuel Galban, and revisit the haunts of his youth. As it turns out, Los Zafiros are still remembered by everyone, and one of the most amazing scenes shows a Zafiros tribute band, Los Nuevos Zafiros, playing in Trio Park, with Miguel and Manuel singing along with them. Also singing along with them, off to the side, are three little girls of about six who seem to know all the lyrics. Like I said, I'm no fan of Cuban music, but it's impossible not to be moved by Los Zafiros' music from the edge of time. The lush colors of Cuba, the old entertainers remembering the lost comrades of their youth, and the absolutely unique sound of the group weave a spell that will stick with you long after the credits roll.
Ed Ward lives in Berlin.